Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Dan Attall Show, originally broadcast live on the Unity Connect virtual events platform on Tuesday the 4th of July. I had the privilege to host a webinar with a stellar panel of event industry professionals who came together to discuss how to navigate the path to net zero in the events industry. The webinar was a partnership between the Dan Attall Show and the Business Design Centre. The panel included Anna Abdelnour, CEO, founder of Isla, here to accelerate the event industry transition to a sustainable future. Keith O'Loughlin, CEO of Smile, who support global brands to imagine and deliver innovative experiences and creative content. Edwin van de Venet, owner of B-Matrix and chair of the Workstream Smart Production and Waste Management at Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative. And Kate Vandenberg, Marketing and Communications Director of Carbon Neutral Business Design Centre, who are setting their sights on achieving net zero by 2030. Please check out all of my content at danassall.com and search Dan Attall to subscribe to my Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube platforms and to be notified first about brand new episodes. And the first discussion point that we're going to talk about today is how can the events industry overcome the challenge of establishing a common approach for achieving net zero emissions? I'm going to start with you, Anna. I'm going to pick on you first.
I think just before that, I think it is really important to make sure that everybody listening knows what net zero is. It can be quite a misunderstood concept in the first instance, which I think is one of the barriers to collaboration ultimately is that kind of lack of common language, lack of understanding. And so net zero is a science-based target. That's all it is a science-based target that keeps us in line, with a 1.5 degree temperature increase future. That's kind of all you need to know short term, just to make sure you're talking about the same thing. But it's a target that people are working towards to reduce their emissions so that our global temperature increase doesn't go above 1.5 degrees. So I think it's just...
Thank you.
I wanted to make that point because I think in terms of kind of a common approach, we need a common language and we need to make sure that everyone is speaking the same language from that perspective. And so I do think it's really important that that's sort of at the forefront of everybody's mind. And they say, tell them again, at some point it will sink in. And so that would probably be the first thing that I'd say sits as a barrier to achieving net zero as an industry, is making sure that everybody is on the same journey. But I think one of the things around kind of a common approach is that it's got to be stakeholder strategies to reaching that net zero targets that are aligned across the industry ecosystem. And that's how we create a common approach. The net zero strategy for a venue versus a production company versus a logistics company versus a catering company versus a planner, they're all going to be different approaches. But as long as they are aligned timeframe wise and working together and talking across each of those stakeholder groups, that's how we create the common approach.
Keith, you're the CEO of Smile, a creative agency who has stated that they are on the journey to carbon neutrality. Talk to me about how we establish a common approach in relation to your business and the conversations you're having with your customers, please.
Well, if I start with the carbon neutrality rather than the net zero, committed to carbon neutrality by 2025 and net zero by 2030. So we are in the net zero category. The reason we committed to carbon neutral by 2025 was our personal journey. We wanted something with more immediacy. 2025 is only 18 months away. So that for us set the need, an imperative to really get things going. And then with regard to common approaches, as Anna said, we need to build up this body of knowledge, but we also need to build up a common language and bring that language into our core operations. For us in the agency world, when we talk about events and we use the language of dollars and square meters of the number of people we need to move from A to B, just as part of our day-to-day, well, carbon and waste needs to be part of that common language, our common planning language.
Thank you. And Kate, turning to you, the Business Design Centre have done a lot of work in this area. You're already a carbon neutral venue and you've got a commitment to being net zero by 2030. Can you please give us an insight into the conversations you've been having with the stakeholders of the venue, including the local community, event organisers and attendees?
Yeah, I think we've been on the journey a little bit longer than most, but have picked up net zero at the same time as everybody coming out of the kind of last few years. I think that's one of the challenges, that we're all in a different place. So as well as the language and the approach, it's the framework that we're following. And I think one of the frameworks, obviously the Net Zero Carbon Events Pledge, breaks it down really simply. You can join it from wherever you are. So you might be further ahead than some, but you just keep going with it. And obviously, if you're not that far in advance or you haven't got the capacity to understand that framework within your resources, then Anna's venue framework is also a really well broken down framework to be able to follow their venue's pathway. And I think sharing that widely so that people know they can come along on that journey with you, whether it's your organisers or your suppliers. I think we'll probably go on to all the other stakeholders eventually, but they're the kind of main groups to get within your kind of communication strategy, and then clearer communications from within that to the other stakeholders. So your onward suppliers, the visitors, attendees and delegates on site.
And Edwin, B Matrix globally provides solutions for temporary constructions at events, and you also chair a workstream of the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative. And one of their stated aims is to foster collaboration with suppliers and customers to ensure alignment and common approaches. Please give us your views.
I'm a co-owner of our own company, B Matrix. We are a manufacturer for the industry. And we are on the journey, maybe most of us in here for a long time already. And what we felt is that not everybody is on the boat yet. So some people just don't know what's happening still today. Others are a little bit further ahead. So everybody's doing his own thing. But if we do not collaborate, and I hear the word stakeholders a lot of time, if we do not collaborate as a whole industry, we as manufacturers, venue holders, organizers, if we do everything on our own, then we will reach our own goals. But I feel like the industry is at stake when we do not collaborate. And that's for me the most important thing, why I actively joined the Net Zero Carbon Events. And I'm particularly in the workstream smart production and waste management, which is a huge job to do, not only for the early adopters, but especially for the people that are coming behind us.
Perfect. I'm actually going to stick with you, Edwin, for the next question, because you sort of obviously it combines with the one we just spoke about. In terms of collaboration with suppliers, vendors and other stakeholders to ensure a more sustainable supply chain for event materials, resources and services. I mean, obviously, you know, materials you're using daily or the companies that use the services using them daily.
Correct.
Talk to me about some of the collaboration that you're experiencing at the moment.
For us, about collaboration, so our main customer base is the service provider. And sometimes those people, so the stand builders or exhibit builders, however you want to call it, they sometimes feel left alone because they are most of the time small and medium-sized companies trying their best, but they cannot follow always what some venues and especially also some bigger organizers are requesting. So like that, I want to go in the discussion of the carpet. Some organizers say, well, carpets are not needed. Maybe I'm talked too early then. Carpets are not needed on the show floor, but then I'm feeling, yeah, but where is the experience then? So we need to align that to come to our higher goal, and that's creating a nice future for our industry.
And Anna, I know you're keen to jump in here, so please give us your views.
I think there's it's really interesting because I think collaboration is this space where innovation happens. And we don't see a lot of innovation in the events industry. If we're totally honest, we saw a lot of tech. Yeah. And
that's a bold statement. That's a bold statement.
It is. But I mean, a trade show looked like a trade show for 20 years.
Sure.
You
know,
you buy your square meter booth, you walk around and you see exhibitors. Like, we haven't really changed. COVID forced transformation. COVID did force, it was a crisis that forced the industry to think differently and look differently, work in a different way, for agencies to partner with suppliers in ways that they never had before to find solutions to deliver events for their clients completely virtually. You know, it really inspired and drove forward the innovation piece. And digital, whilst we've very much gone back to in-person events, digital has changed. It is a well-respected and regarded approach to delivering events to wider audiences, you know, to be delivering content that doesn't necessarily need to be done in person. So it created this innovation, and it was a crisis. And we, you know, it's cliche, crisis creates opportunities for collaboration, innovation. And this is, you know, where we are in terms of kind of the planetary crisis, biodiversity collapse, environmental, you know, breakdown, temperature increases, all these sorts of things. Those are also crises. And there is an opportunity to collaborate, to innovate in that. So I think it becomes that piece around how do we, you know, we are, the industry is, we're communicators, we're marketers, we sell things, we sell an idea, we sell a concept or a dream or a lifestyle or a product or a kind of, you know, education knowledge transfer. And we have an opportunity as an industry to do that for our industry. And I think that's Edwin's point, isn't it? Which is, how does the industry inspire change and collaborate? And when you take something like carpet as a single example from the waste perspective, the argument is we'll just get rid of it. Just get rid of carpet. We don't need it. I don't think that is necessarily the solution. It might be part of a solution for a particular type of event, but actually carpet's also about accessibility. If you go into an exhibition hall and you don't have carpet, it massively shifts the sound for people with auditory challenges, for you know, comfort and ease and being on your feet all day. Carpet provides it serves a purpose. But how we use carpet and how we treat it as a single use material is the problem. So how do we, you know, collaborate as carpet providers, waste providers, venues, creative designers and experienced designers to say, how do we solve this problem? How do we look at carpet differently? How do we treat it differently? Yeah. How do we, you know, manage putting it down and removing it so it doesn't just go into downcycling or waste? And that's the opportunity for, you know, smart venues and smart suppliers to get together and find out how they can create a solution that's also that solves that problem. It's also a business diversifier. Like, it ticks so many boxes, you know. I don't have the answer to that. I'd like to have the answer to that. It would be really great, and I'd probably make a few million quite quickly. But that's the point, right? That's about inspiring things, looking for innovative solutions, and that's where the collaboration piece is so key. So yeah. I get on my soapbox, so I'll stop talking now. But, you know, that's what this has got to be about, right? Solution finding, and that's what we are as an industry. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if you allow me, Dan, I feel like Anna is touching the very right point. It's all about innovation. And it's also COVID that forced us to think further than we used to think before. So that creates a lot of opportunities. And with innovation, not only digital innovation, but also product innovation, I feel like... We coming very far with that.
And Keith, turning to you, when we had a chat previously, you suggested that your clients were coming to you for advice and they wanted to actively participate in eco-friendly initiatives. And in fact, new clients see it as a prerequisite now that you can advise them on how to produce sustainable events. Please give us your view.
Yeah, very much so, Dan. I mean, going back to Anna's opening comments about let's define net zero, many people find this a hugely complex subject and they don't know where to start, but they have an instinct that they need to be doing better. And clients are a very diverse group. Some have incredibly sophisticated systems. Maybe it's associated with their brand, and they are really easy to work with in this area. And others do want education, some active and some guidance. So some of our clients actually consult with us to train their people on how to procure sustainable events. Other clients need guidance on how to plan that event. And some clients, it's not the priority yet. But again, back to Anna's definition piece, governments are working to a date of 2050. This group is working a little more swiftly to a date of 2030. So we are putting the onus on ourselves to move the dial a lot more quickly than other sectors.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's interesting, Kate, coming to you. I mean, the education piece. Do your clients come to you and expect you to know, you know, everything around the subject? Are they asking you to lead them rather than them sort of coming to you with, you know, solutions or what they want to do with an event? Give us a flavour of what they're saying to you.
Yeah, back to Keith's point, I think we've got some suppliers organisers that will come on site. They're already streets ahead. They've been working on it as a large business. And you've got smaller businesses that don't have the same resource. Maybe they've not appointed somebody permanent to do this for them. So around that education piece, we will give them as much information as we can. And this year, putting it back into our team as well. So we've done a set of training with our team already. All of our team are going through, we're members of ILA, all of them are going through ILA's accelerated training, because I think it's not just about a few of us being able to tell a few of our clients about what we're doing. It's about everybody in our business, whatever touch point they have, whether it's the front desk or the services team or us or sales, to be able to say what our position is, where we're going, you know, what, even down to what waste they should be throwing in which bin. So I think it's about the entire kind of business being able to comment on it at the same level. And if you don't have that, it does invalidate what you're saying about all driving in the same direction. So if our team can't explain something, then that's, you know, that's, it goes against our whole messaging, really.
Sure.
And I think it's been their responsibility. Some of our team have put together a guide. I think putting it back into your team, like the sustainability group that we've got, you talk about kind of collaborating with suppliers. Our sustainability team actually has members of our supplier team within it. So they know our messaging. They know what we like them. So we can put things back on them to say, you know, how are you finding it? What can we do to support you on site? We want more of our suppliers to be on site because it reduces transport. The education is kind of a network more than just a kind of back and forward conversation.
Sure, thank you. And actually, just a follow-up question, because obviously you've got thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of attendees to the events that are going through the Business Design Centre every year. Are they engaging with you and the organisers on site when they come to an event? Like, are they asking certain questions? You know, have you got this? Have you got that? How can I recycle my lanyard? What sort of, you know, as an example, are they actively sort of engaging in the conversation around sustainability?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll find out very quickly if they engage in something that they don't like. So if they see the practices and they're just like, oh, this cup's compostable and there's a bin over there that I can put it in, it's been labelled, then they see that in action. And if, you know, like you say, we've got nearly a million people that come through the doors every year. If they can see some of those things in practice, it's educational for them. They take something away. They learn something. But that's a huge challenge in itself, communicating to all of the stakeholders. You know, in terms of data, with the information you have, part of the communication has to go through you to your organisers. Say, tell people that are coming on site about this. So our organisers will tell our exhibitors what we ask them through manuals we put together that we can share with them. We say, please don't bring plastic bottles of water on site as sponsorship on your stand. This is our kind of policy around that. And then when they come on site, if somebody's missed that, then, you know, there's something obviously in the chain that's missing. So we work really hard to do that. And then we'll go and have these conversations with them on site about, this is why we ask you not to bring these. And it's a challenge that you have as a venue, because every single venue's got different, you know, ownership models, whether they're council owned or privately owned. They've got different local restrictions around what waste can be taken away. They've got all sorts of different restrictions. So it goes back to that common approach and knowledge sharing between different stakeholders.
I think, sure, thank you. Go on, sorry,
Annie, yeah. I think Kate's hit on something there, which is that, you know, and to your question, Dan, ultimately did, is that the audience, when you're moving a million people through a venue a year, think of your influence, like what you can do. And that's that legacy piece. Business is always looking for, how do I leave a legacy? How do I change something? And that is that, when you've got the opportunity to educate that many people coming through your doors in a year, like, that's exciting. You know, that should be something that thinks, we can make a difference. People want to feel like they're positively contributing to something, that they're building something collective. And I think an opportunity for a venue to drive mass behavioral change through some very, very simple practices, like, this cup that we sell coffee in can be managed in this waste stream, creates a connection between, I've got a single use product, but I also have a responsibility to make sure that that single use product is going to the place that it can be managed and dealt with. And it's creating connections, it's creating the education piece. And that's not just within the venue, that can happen in all sorts of places in all sorts of ways, but it should be exciting. It is exciting. It's a massive topic. It's the single biggest thing that we're going to overcome as a, you know, generation and as a species, for all species. Like, if that's not motivating you, like, you're reading the wrong stuff, you know, you're not talking to people that are inspiring you or leading or guiding. Like, find this topic should excite people to do something. And if it's not exciting you because it's overwhelming or because it's scary or you don't know where to start, it's not the right thing. Go and find the thing that makes you go, okay, I can do something now. And if it's not doing that for you, go find something different. There's a wealth of resource, there's a wealth of inspiration, there's a wealth of activity out there. Find that thing that makes you go, stops you in your tracks, because it should be inspiring and exciting.
Edwin, just turning to you, I want to talk about measurement. You know, it's very, all very well, people say they're doing this, that, and the other. We want to get to you know, net zero by a certain date, or we want to be carbon neutral, or we want to do change an initiative. Talk to me about how, you know, maybe B-Matrix to start off with, about sort of key performance indicators and how you're sort of measuring and tracking your progress in this area.
From a company standpoint, we actually do two things. First of all, we have our product measurement calculator, of course. I know there's a zillion different products out there, so our calculator will not serve the whole market. But again, within the net zero carbon events, we are preparing kind of a material list to see what footprint something has. Of course, there's more than only the product, there's also the company. So we started measuring things in 2019, just pre-COVID. And then when COVID hit, we hit our target of reducing by 50%, but that was the wrong the wrong reason. So we just have our figures now for 2022, and they look very promising, just because we are on a daily scale, we are thinking of things, and that's bringing us quite far if you talk about carbon reduction. And it's not only the big things we can do, it's also the very simple and small things. And if you then talk about measuring, I don't think there's the right tool out there. Again, with the net zero carbon events, we are trying to get something ready by the end of the year, which is useful for the industry. There is a lot of tools out there today talking about the footprint of products, but within our industry, we need to think about reusing things and maximizing that reuse of things. And that's not, most of the time, not measured in like the building industry, where they build it for 30 years and it stays there. No, it's like for 3 days and then 5 days. And it's all about reusage. And that's, yeah. So today there's no real measurement tool out there, but I don't think...
Gonna have to disagree, Edwin. We've built
okay.
it. we've
got Anna's got the tool.
We've built a platform called Trace, which does exactly that, that looks at tracking where something's coming from, where it's going, the footprint associated with that. I mean, Keith actually is probably a much better person to speak about it from a use perspective, but it looks at the whole carbon footprint of your event, from audience travel, production, transportation, logistics, food, waste, materials, whether they're coming from reused stock or virgin stocks, whether they're being reused, repurposed, recycled, wasted. We actually released a report this year which takes around 127 events that took place in the UK only last year. We took a UK sample to kind of produce a footprint report that looks at where our emissions are coming from. So it does exist. It's out there.
It's okay. So, okay, Anna.
Yeah.
Yes, Keith.
As a user, we have been measuring both our home operations and our event activities for a number of years. And when Isla brought Trace into the industry, we adopted Trace because we wanted to support an industry-wide measurement tool so that there is consistency of data. Now, we're obviously all learning our way around that. And to Anna, picking up on Anna's comment there, the first annual report has now come in based on a basket of people using the Trace platform. And that's starting to give us some really helpful data on where to target our initiatives. And the platform does work across six metrics. And what is good and really helpful about it is we're focusing in on CO2e from the various elements, but we're also looking at waste. And that leads to that second life conversation, Edwin, that you really started to highlight, because it shines a light on that and encourages us to think about what is that is actually part of our responsibility through our whole life event planning. So it is a good platform. We're using it very actively, as Anna knows, to help us this year being a base year of getting to understand the tool, getting to understand the data that it's giving us. And then back to my point about our commitment to carbon neutrality, we've got to have the data to drive the behaviours to get us to that point in 18 months' time, and then use that to drive us to the higher standards of net zero. But yes, so Anna, thank you for Trace.
Thank you for Trace. Sorry, Kate, I'm going to come to you in a second. I think Edwin is just demanding a response.
I really would like to agree with Anna and Keith, of course. But my thing is that there's no such thing as a global standard out there. And I can imagine that it's a good tool. I'm not in the measurement group, and I'm not opening my umbrella right now. There is the measurement group within the industry, and I have to think that they also tested the Trace.
The problem, Edwin, is that Trace isn't free. That's okay. The simple problem with it, unfortunately. So we're actually in conversation with the initiative around what support we might be able to provision. But really a space to go into at the moment. But
But I don't think there needs to be something like a free version. I don't think that is necessary. We just need a good tool. And if somebody has to pay something for that, I think That's really okay, but maybe
Edwin,
not a discussion.
Edwin, you do open the conversation to an area for consideration. Forgive me for dominating.
Yes,
and that is the global consistency of data. So we're using Trace for global events, but the sources of data that you can get globally are highly varied. So it is certainly an area for us to collectively improve.
And Kate, talk to me about the journey that the Business Design Centre are on.
Absolutely. So we have started, and like going back to everyone's comments earlier about people being on different parts of the journey, we have just started giving it out as standard to all events, whether they ask for it or not. And I think that, again, falls into the education. Oh, why am I receiving this? You're going to receive it every year that you have an event with us. And then you can use that to make informed decisions, and we can help you to understand your impact. Now, for us, measuring is quite tricky because we're a grade two listed building. Go back to my point about all the venues being very different. But we've started submetering areas around the venue so we can give better electrical readouts, make that more accurate year on year. And we're having conversations with our waste provider around how we can more accurately weigh bins. So we're doing a great job at the moment in terms of the service providers we've got on site, but it's bringing the people that down the chain, down that supply chain into the events industry world, their commercial wasting, so bringing it into the world and saying, these are the things that we really need right now to help get those next steps along on the journey. So people are getting those measurements, and also showing, you know, where we've brought things in. So we've got a stock of Shell Scheme electrics on site. We reuse that till the end of its days, and just showing if they bring that in, the difference. So a lot of our suppliers have started to do it as well. I know our AV team and our catering team working to try and carbon label their offerings before people buy them, so they know if they make X choice versus Y choice, that's going to be more impactful on the environment than the other. So I think there's a bit before the event and a bit after the event around measurements that we need to get right.
Thank you. And you'll be glad to know, Anna, there's a couple of people in the chat that are now feeling they need to ask the cost of Trace and how they can get it.
Trace is a very accessible price. So from one event for one, it works out at less than £100 per event on the whole. So depending on your usage and how many people you've got using it, how many events you want to measure a year, kind of what capabilities you're looking at it for, how you want to connect, you know, to different suppliers or organisers. But it's around, I think, £113 to measure a single event on average.
Sold to the highest bidder. £113, people. Thank you. I'll put some details in the chat on LinkedIn. Sorry. God, we're getting myself in trouble.
Yeah. But it's the thing, that's the thing. It's the tools only as good, really, as kind of the effort that you put into it at the same time. No tool is going to do everything for you. And that's one of the big things. But where we've approached it from this measurement journey is what is it that the event planner, the person who owns that event, has to go through? What's the process that they go through? What are they accountable for, responsible for? How do they work across their supply chain? How do they work with venues? How do they work with suppliers? How do they work with the agency? And so it's really looking at, you know, one of the big things we talk about is that we're already collecting 90% of the data in one way or another. You know, you can very easily measure your footprint with data you already have. It's just putting it into something that gives you the number at the end. And so that's really what we're focusing on, and how do we make it as easy as possible for people to do this? Again, it's the usability, it's the ease. This sits alongside your work, shouldn't sit as another onerous full-time job. You know, that's the collaboration piece again. This isn't about one person measuring the footprint of an event. This is about everybody across the event ecosystem, from project coordinator in an agency through to, you know, junior production manager in a warehouse to venue manager, all contributing the right information in to get that event footprint out. It's not this isn't about a single person being fully responsible for that. I mean, if you want to make that person do it, great, have someone dedicated, but you know, it's an added cost when you put an extra person on. So how do you make this collaborative across your event ecosystem?
And Edwin, coming to you, what sort of advice could you give a business, I guess of all shapes and sizes, in terms of what small steps they can make practically on their journey, whether they implement those tomorrow, next week, next month, just a few things that they can do in the short term?
Actually, we started doing two things. First of all, of course, we hired a consultant doing the exercise for us, but the consultant is not always very inexpensive. So for smaller businesses, that might be a bit over the top to start with. But everybody knows probably where the biggest gains can be. And just be creative and innovative on those kind of things, because those will bring you the most reduction, although you actually don't know exactly what's happening. So, yeah, at a certain point in time, you will need to start measuring. So starting to measure will be important, is important. But again, it's not very free. And the other thing, I feel probably even more important, is to get your employees on the boat, to get everybody on the same page, doing very small things, like we have a bike policy where we encourage people to come to work with the bike. We have a whole catering plan in place where we removed all the very known soda drinks with a startup company that just delivers the flavor, and the water is coming from in the house. So those small things attract a lot of attention within our employees. And if we can get everybody on the boat, then people are very eager to think along and to also create nice ideas. So that's second part, is probably even more important if you're only starting the journey.
And coming to you, Keith, what advice would you give a business owner who are just starting the journey and want to make a difference? What small steps can they do?
Edwin covered a number of the super simple steps to take, but I think having a commitment to this as a essential body of work to create the businesses of the future, and then using that to drive culture change into your community, whether it's big or small, and being public about that. So simply stating in your offices what you should be doing, having your manifesto, your target, so that people know, and then reporting that, sharing your advances on it, so that people, to Anna's point, can actually be excited about the progress that you're making. And I think those things can work at any scale of business.
Sure. Thank you. And Kate, obviously, again, you know, BDC have been going through this for a while. What advice would you give to, it doesn't have to be another venue, but it could be an organizer that's listening to this a certain size. I think about when the BDC started and sort of some of your experience, what are the small steps that they could be taking in the short term?
Not to repeat any other points, because they're probably the best, but just in terms of transparency, most of us who are already started will be happy to sit down and talk to you for as long as you'll listen about what you should be doing or where you could be going or the mistakes that we've encountered or the challenges. You know, find people who'll talk to you about it. So the cross association groups, or you said Reset Connect last week, I'm sure you had some really good chats there. So finding other people within the industry at any point, phone them up, ask them questions about how you can really help other people overcome what they're going through.
Sure. So it comes back to collaboration to find that common approach. And actually, Anna, I just want to touch upon the financial aspect. You know, we are high inflation, increasing costs, pressures on revenues. I think even the UK government, you know, obviously pressed pause on the green levy, which might be coming back. But what's your view, you know, when people are saying, oh, I can't afford to do this sort of stuff at the moment? What would you say to them?
There are two levels to this, right? There's the stuff, there's sustainable solutions which are about efficiencies, and efficiencies save you money. Reusing materials or stock saves you money. Doing things a little bit differently, using a little bit less saves you money. Reducing your food order to what you need rather than overcompensating because you're worried about running out saves you money. So there are these levels of efficiency, which are money saving activities. Then there's investment, and it's not cost, it's investment. Leads, the reason that you invest is because it returns in the future. So for a single event, you know, you're highly unlikely to invest in sustainability on a single event. You're going to be looking for efficiencies. When you're looking at an event portfolio, when you're in control of a multi-million pound budget to deliver a portfolio of events across a year, you can invest right at the beginning of that budget year, right? That's as a planner. As a venue, you're investing in alternative energy sources and alternative waste management solutions, which are upfront investments, let's change the language here, that in the longer term are going to return. Now, those are business decisions. Those aren't event decisions. Those are business decisions. And that's where you need to start having the data available to you to make the right business decisions. You're not just going to replace all your gas kitchen hobs tomorrow because we need to come off of gas if it's not where your biggest impact in spend and carbon emissions is. Your biggest carbon emissions, for example, are coming from your waste and how you're managing waste within the venue, and you've got that data to tell you that. That's how you might make a decision to invest in an alternative waste provider, waste contractor, you know, change your tender, go out and look at how you might work differently with a particular supplier. So it's the levels. It's where are you? Who are you? Are you doing an event? Are you doing multiple events? Are you a facility? Are you a business owner? And you've got to be able to kind of pitch into the right place and have the right conversations at the right level. And I think that's one of the key things is the answers exist for your challenges. It's just being able to find, access them in the right place and know what's relevant for you. And we talk very generally in the events industry about sustainability. And at some point, the conversation will shift to real stakeholder conversations, real individualized conversations as we become more familiar, as we become more able and more articulate and more well-versed and more educated I'm going to find out about this and listen to this because that's the right thing for me. I've gone off on one again, but it's about, you know, efficiency and investment. It's not cost.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Language is obviously important. A question here from Merigin of Eventmender, and I'm going to come to you, Ed, for this. What's your sort of best tip on getting attendees, stakeholders, to be aware of your effort and preferably get involved and help you achieve even more sustainable events?
Sounds like a simple question, but the answer is not that simple. As a manufacturer, we have very little influence on what the market does. So we need, again, and maybe it starts getting boring, but we need to collaborate. And I was in a business meeting 2 weeks ago in Singapore with a big organizer, doing a very big tourism show, and they asked me if we can help them. And they are doing like seven really big pavilions, causing 70% of the waste of the whole venue, but there's no availability of reusable materials, of sustainable materials. So they asked us to collaborate with them on that. And I say I'm willing to do that, but that, again, ask, as Anna was saying, for a big investment. And we are ready to co-invest. And I feel like there should not be such a thing as competition in this whole sustainability thing. We need to collaborate. And we also We need to collaborate with our competitors to get things done. And if we do each of us two pavilions, then maybe the investment is feasible and we can make things happen. It's not about creating the most revenue for yourself. Maybe that's a bit strange, but that will bring us much further down the road.
Keith and Kate, do you have some final thoughts?
I would agree with Edwin that this is not an area for competition. This is an area for collaboration. We've all got to learn really quickly and change practice really, really quickly to meet the collective goals that we've all got. So investing, changing, understanding those business decisions are super, super important for us all. But yeah, this is not an area for competition and competitive advantage.
Thank you. And Kate, if you can still hear me, maybe if you want to chip in.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it isn't. I'm just going back to what Anna said. She's totally right. You know, you make these investments, investing in infrastructure that's brought down. You know, spend that spend that money on LED lighting, for example, and we've seen kind of not only the reduction in our footprint, but the reduction in our expenditure on electric. So just going back to her point on that, you know, the idea around considering financial and logistical challenges is something you need to prepare for, strategize for. Yes, we're talking about a date that isn't around the corner, but having that five-year plan in place, having something that gives you a roadmap for your own venue and really selling that in to the people who are involved in making those decisions. So that was what I'd leave you with.